ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, Mother Yashoda binds Lord Krishna, text number 9. Tam atayashtim prasamiksha satvaraha sataha avaruya apasasara bhitavat gopi anvatavat na yam apa yoginam samam praveshtum tapasa iritam manaha tam atta yashtim prasamiksa sattvara tam atta yashtim prasamik Shasatpara Tato Varuya Sasastara Pitavat Tato Varuya Sasara Pitavat Gopi anvathavannayam apayoginam Gopi anvathavannayam apayoginam Kshamam paveshtum tapaseritam manaha Samam paveshtum tapaseritam mana Tam atayashtim prasamiksha sattvara Tato varuya pasasara pitavat Gopi anvatavannayam apayoginam Samam praveshtum tapaseritam manaha Tamatayashtim prasamiksha sattvaras Tato varuya pasasara pitavat उपियान्वतावन्नयमाप्ययोगिनम् समं प्रवेष्टुं तपःप्रेरितमनः समातयस्तिं प्रसमीक्ष परत् ततो वरुयापससारथी तवत् कूप्यामतावन्नयमापयोगिनम् समं प्रवेष्टुं तपःप्रेरितं मनः समाप्तयस्तिं प्रसमीक्ष सतरात् ततो वरुयापससारथीतवत् कूप्यामतावन्नयमापयोगिनम् समं प्रवेष्टुं तपःप्रेरितं मनः अथ दिस् समातयस्तिं प्रसमीक्ष परत् ततो वरुयापससारथी तवत् कूप्यामतावन्नयमापयोगिनम् समं प्रवेष्टुं तपःप्रेरितं मनः One more. Okay. Tam unto Mother Yashoda Atayastim, carrying in her hand a stick, Prasamiksha Krishna, seeing her in that attitude, Satvaraha, very quickly, Tataha, from there, Avaruya, getting down, Appasasara, began to flee, Bitavat, as if very much afraid. Gopi, Mother Yashoda, Anvatavat, began to follow him. not. Yam, unto whom? Apa, failed to reach. Yoginam, of great yogis, mystics. Ksamam, who could reach him? Praveshtum, trying to enter into the Brahman effulgence, or Paramatma, Tapasa, with great austerities and penances, Iritam, trying for that purpose, Manaha, by meditation. Translation: when Lord Sri Krishna saw his mother stick in hand, he very quickly got down from the top of the mortar and began to flee as if very much afraid. Although yogis tried to capture him as Paramatma by meditation, desiring to enter into the effulgence of the Lord with great austerities and penances, they failed to reach him. But Mother Yashoda, thinking that same personality of Godhead Krishna to be her son, began to follow Krishna to catch him. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Yogis, mystics, want to catch Krishna as Paramatma. And with great austerities and penances they try to approach him. Yet they cannot. Here we see, however, that Krishna is going to be caught by Yashoda and is running away in fear. This illustrates the difference between the bhakta and the yogi. Yogis cannot reach Krishna, but for pure devotees like Mother Yashoda, Krishna is already caught. Krishna was even afraid of Mother Yashoda's stick. This was mentioned by Queen Kunti in her prayers. Haya Pavanaya Stitasya, Bhagavatam 1.8.31. Krishna is afraid of Mother Yashoda, and yogis are afraid of Krishna. Yogis try to reach Krishna by Jnana Yoga and other yogas, but fail. Yet, although Mother Yashoda was a woman, Krishna was afraid of her, as clearly described in this verse. Tam ata yastim pasamiksha satvarat tato varuya pasasara pitavat gopi anradavam nayam apa yoginam kshamam pravishtum tapaseritam manaha. And Lord Sri Krishna saw his mother, stick in hand. He very quickly got down from the top of the mortar and began to flee as if very much afraid. Although yogis tried to capture him as Paramatma by meditation, desiring to enter into the effulgence of the Lord with great austerities and penances, they failed to reach him. But Mother Yashoda, thinking that same personality of Godhead Krishna to be her son, began to follow Krishna, began following Krishna to catch him. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Putare Srimate Chidasvami Chinamine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Putare Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swamini Chinamine. Namaste Saraswata Deva Gaudavani Pratarine Nivishesha Sunyavadi Pashtadati Sutarine. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Janjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmilitamina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So this is very intimate, very high understanding of God. This is generally not what we speak to people about when they come to the temple for the first time. Before we can try to enter into the understanding of such a pastime as this, we have to first accept that there is God. This is actually obvious, but in this civilization, there is systematic propaganda to deny the existence, to make people accept that there can be such a thing as a creation without a creator. This is the great credit of the modern scientists, leaders of the world, headed by Darwin, actually. Prabhupada said there were three big rascals in you know, modern civilization. Those were, anybody knows? One was Darwin, I already mentioned. The other was Freud, Sigmund Freud, Austrian, founder acharya of psychiatry. And the last one was Marx, Karl Marx. Of course, everybody knows. So there are many others, and there is a concerted effort going on. And recently, Stephen. He died just recently. He was Stephen Hawking. Yeah. And he was practically dead already. He was sitting in his wheelchair for many years. In the end, he was only one muscle in his cheek he was able to move. That was all. But still, with that muscle, he was still propagating his atheistic philosophy. So it's such people who are heavily influenced by this propaganda. We don't start by speaking about such pastimes. First, we have to come to accept that God is great and we are subordinate to Him. And unless we follow his instructions, the injunctions of the scriptures, we're going to have to suffer. That's the first step. Then gradually we can bring people to understand, explain them about some higher levels of God consciousness. Of course, such pastimes as this Damodar Leela, which we are celebrating in this month of Damodar, one of the wonderful characteristics of these pastimes is that even though they are so intimate, there is also the demonstration of Krishna's unlimited opulence. In this verse here, we are hearing about how he was so afraid of Mother Yashoda, but at the same time, after running and running and running all over the courtyard to try to escape, Mother Yashoda finally caught him. And he was so afraid, as it is described in this song, Damodarashtakam, that he was breathing very quickly. Like that. You must have seen little children when they then they become very afraid. Sometimes they breathe like that. And Mother Yashoda became so concerned because she was so afraid. She actually became worried about the psychological condition of her son, that he might, you know, he might suffer some psychological damage. It's funny because I don't remember what I bought, but was here in India when you buy fruits, and I think it was some lemons I bought on the streets here. So they wrap it in newspaper, old newspaper. So it just so happened that on the, you know, sometimes one becomes, one's attention is caught by things like that. There was an article about, you know, how to handle, it's quite funny now, and it just comes into my mind. The article was about what to do with children who are suffering from, you know, traumatic disorder. And there's a picture of a boy who is, I don't know how they, it's not a fake picture, I don't think, that because the boy, he's just, he has an expression of utmost agony. His mouth is wide open and he's crying like that. His, all the muscles in his face are tense, and it's a horrible picture. But anyway, the whole article is about, you know, what children sometimes do, how they become disturbed in because of traumatic experiences, especially the thing that is mentioned, that there are several examples there, when if the parents, if there is some disagreement in the among the parents, if the parents are quarreling, of course, if they end up divorcing, this is something that very much disturbs children, and the children, it's so disturbing, they can't even really, they can't speak about it, they can't express themselves. And how to do, how to deal with such, how to try to help such children. So, this is a, this world is such that there's no happy childhood anymore. People, they sometimes think back about their happy childhood when they were free from cares and anxieties. They were loving parents were taking care of them. And they didn't have any responsibilities, and they kind of long back to that time. But even that is gone in this. It's such a horrible age we are living in that this is also getting lost. Most people, they don't even have a happy childhood. They may suffer even more when they grow up, but there is no happy childhood to look back to. So anyway, Krishna, he was also not also, but he was becoming so fearful, that Mother Yashoda became worried about her child, and she decided to throw away the stick which he was having in her hand, and she decided to bind him instead, as it is common practice, or at least was, I don't know anymore, but it used to be here in India, that the children are too much naughty, you bind them up. So, but when she, to her amazement, when she tried to bind Krishna, that shouldn't be a great difficulty. Krishna, just her little son, and, you know, You take a piece of rope and tie it around his waist. What's the big deal? But when she tried to do it, she found out that, amazingly enough, the rope was too short. Even though Krishna was only a little boy, she still didn't give up. She thought, okay, no problem, I'll take another piece of rope, I'll add it, and then surely I will be able to bind Krishna. But still, even adding that rope, she was not able to bind. It was still too short. That was a surprise. She was becoming a little baffled, and she still didn't give up. Anyway, I'm going to bind Krishna. I have to teach him a lesson. It's my duty as his mother. So she was very determined, and she kept adding rope after rope, and finally she had to give up, because even adding up all the ropes that were in the house, she still found that it was 2 inches short. How is it possible? Anybody can give an explanation how this is possible? I don't have to wait for the answer, because you cannot give an explanation. The only explanation is that Krishna is inconceivable. He's beyond the comprehension of any living entity. What to speak of conditioned souls like us, who have no idea of the spiritual reality. So, at this point, when we are confronted with this inconceivable nature of Krishna, we have 2 choices. Either we can just, unwillingness to accept the fact that we should surrender to Krishna, that he is more powerful than we are, and he will always be. We will never come to a point where we will fully understand Krishna. Either we accept that, or we just reject the whole thing. That's basically the 2 choices that we have when we are informed about Krishna's qualities, his pastimes. So, if one is still contaminated by the envy that caused us to come to this material world, then one will just reject the whole thing and say, this is just a story. I don't believe such things. How could it be possible? Otherwise, one just has to come to the point where one accepts the fact that Krishna is greater than I am, and that's wonderful. It's not, I shouldn't be disturbed by that. Yes, if I am an offender, if I am a sinful rascal, then I will be disturbed when I find out that Krishna is unlimitedly powerful, because that means I am going to have to accept the reactions for my crimes, and there's nothing I can do about it. But if one is a little sincere, a little humble, then one will understand, yes, If Krishna is so powerful, then I should surrender. I should just admit the fact that I made a big mistake by turning against Krishna. And one should fall at the feet of the Lord and ask His forgiveness. Even though Krishna is so great, He is actually it is said that the most glorious, the most important quality of Krishna is His unlimited compassion for conditioned souls like us. He's actually our well-wisher. That's the good news. That even though He's so powerful, He could finish us off as easy as anything. But He doesn't want to. He wants our love. He wants our friendship. And He's just waiting for us to come to our senses and regret all the wrongs that we have done. And when we do that, then Krishna is immediately ready to accept us. He is so kind. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhuktaram yatya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvadehinam yatvamam shantim ritchati. Three things we need to know if we want to become free from the pangs of material existence. We have to know three things about Krishna. He's our best well-wishing friend. That's actually the most important. We have to understand that He's greater than we are, not only greater than we are, but He's the Lord of everything. Even great, great, powerful demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they are also under Krishna's control. And everything in the whole creation, everything that all the activities that the living entities are performing, the austerities that they perform, they are simply actually meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Krishna is the rightful enjoyer of everything. This could be a cause of concern when we hear this, but when we know that Krishna is also our best friend, then that is immediately, relieves the tension that we might feel when we hear about Krishna's greatness. He's so great, yes, but He's not going to take advantage. He wants to share the benefits of His greatness with us. He's inviting us into His circle of intimate friends. There's no need for us to try to become great. The conditioned soul, he has this idea that if I'm to become happy, I must become famous, I must become rich, I must become, people must love me, and so on. But it's a misunderstanding. This is not actually, first of all, we will never attain this perfection that we are dreaming. It's a dream only. But the actual key to happiness is to understand that Krishna has all these things already, and to be happy that Krishna is unlimitedly great and we are just very, very small. It's actually nothing to be disturbed about. Because the wonderful thing is that even though we are so small and even though we are so fallen and undeserving, but Krishna still loves us. He has not rejected us. And isn't that all we need? Krishna actually wants to invite us into the understanding of these confidential pastimes which we are talking about, which we are meditating on in this month of Damodar. But the qualification needed is we have to become free from this envy of Krishna. As long as we are still having a problem with the fact that Krishna is God and we are not, we cannot even begin to understand Krishna's intimate pastime, such as his Damodar Leela. So that we have to discuss that, we have to deal with that if we really want to understand. I have not been a brahmachari all my life. I was married for some years, and at one point I just had to surrender to the fact that it's not working. I had to get myself out of this entanglement with this lady. And sometime after, I was talking with my brother and his wife at that time. Eventually they also divorced. That's life in the West. Most people end up divorcing. Anyway, at that time they were still together, and I just kind of, by the way, I just remarked that I'm not going to get married again. I'm finished with this. And she said, "Don't say that. No, don't say that. Don't be so confident. Love is the strongest power there is. You may fall in love again, and then what you going to do about it?" Yes, in one sense it is true. Love is the strongest power there is. But what is that love? That is the love of Krishna. That is actually, there is nothing more powerful. When we learn to love Krishna, when we take up the process to reawaken our love for Krishna, we will start to feel something. That love which is there in our hearts, it will start to sprout. And we can say even more important maybe is that Krishna will immediately display his love for us in such a way that we will be surprised to discover the fact that this most wonderful person who has everything, he has actually love for us, for me. It can even in the beginning stages, one One can become overwhelmed by this sudden realization. And one may also forget it again, because that is the condition of a beginner in devotional service, that sometimes realizations come, but then the Maya is very strong, it comes and it covers us over again, not for all time, but you know, temporarily we fall back again to some more ignorant condition. It goes back and forth. This is not surprising. We shouldn't be bewildered by this. Sometimes we may question, was it real? We have some realization, some good experiences, some emotional, heightened states of emotion, loving emotion towards Krishna, even in our neophyte state. But because we are neophytes, it may also go away, and one may ask, one may wonder, was this real, or was it just my imagination, or was it something else? No, it was real. We should not doubt it, that these experiences that we sometimes have, even in the beginning, that they are real. Just because they have an aspect of temporary, being apparently temporary, it's just the way it goes. That in the beginning, our Krishna consciousness is not steady. It comes and goes. But we should also know it for certain, that if we just go on following the process, then more and more we will come to a platform of steady Krishna consciousness. It will become our normal condition to think of Krishna, to feel ecstasy in our service to the Lord. It's going to happen. We just have to stick to it. And then we become eligible to enter into Krishna's intimate pastimes. Because these pastimes can only be understood if we understand that the essence of life, the essence of Krishna consciousness, is the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees. Everything else is subordinate to that. Why does Krishna become afraid? Why is he apparently surrendering to the position of being a helpless child, subjected to the punishment of his mother? Because the loving exchange in such activities is so sweet, that this is what Krishna wants. He appreciates more when his mother comes and threatening to chastise him, binds him up. Why? Because it's done out of love. There is no comparison to the love for Krishna which is displayed by the inhabitants of Braj. And that is really what it's all about. All other considerations, they are subordinate, they are subservient to those loving exchanges. That we have to understand. That is what we should always remember. Even apparent misery which is experienced by the devotees, or even by Krishna, as in this situation, it is actually a heightened state of ecstasy because it's another manifestation of the love. So, as I said, this is very intimate topics, and we are very fortunate that we are allowed to have a glimpse into these more intimate aspects of God consciousness. But we should always remember that we are not really qualified to fully understand. We shouldn't feel, yes, now I'm ready for it. Let me just hear about Krishna's Rasa-lila, his Raj-lila. All the other things, this is for beginners. I've come to a higher level. No. Those who think themselves qualified to relish these pastimes, that in itself is a disqualification. If we study the pastimes of Krishna, the descriptions of Krishna's pastimes as given in the Bhagavatam and other places, we will find out that those devotees who are on the topmost level, one of their qualifications for being on that level is that they feel themselves completely unqualified to be on that level. Just like one example, this well-known song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gopinath. This whole song it seems like a very miserable song, because the Thakur, he just goes on and on describing his horrible condition, his sinful state of existence, and lamenting about how he is so far away from Krishna and so on, so on. But the most surprising thing is that he keeps addressing the Lord as Gopinath, which means the Lord of the Gopis. How does this go together? Yes, it is perfectly consistent, because actually he's giving voice to the gopis. It is actually how the gopis they think. This is inconceivable, but it's confirmed in other places also that this is really the qualification for entering into these pastimes, entering into the understanding of these pastimes. Okay, I'll stop now. Hare Krishna. Any questions? No? Is there a microphone? Otherwise, you have to speak loud. Better you wait for my. I can hear.
As you said that we have to understand the essence of like loving exchange between the Krishna and his devotees. Then we can understand the Krishna's pastime. We distribute Krishna book, so there it is written Krishna's pastime. Understanding Krishna's pastime means what actually? For us, like neophyte like me, understanding Krishna's pastime means what?
Is it possible? Is that your question? Can we understand?
Because we read Krishna book and Krishna's pastime.
Yes.
Then we think that we came to understand that this is the pastime going on and we know this is pastime. So, actually, understanding Krishna's pastime means what? I read the Krishna's Krishna book and I understood some of the childhood pastimes of like Krishna. So, but I don't know the essence of loving exchange between the Krishna and his devotees. Like both are.
So, you know, Krishna consciousness is a whole package, and we are given the, you know, everything is there in Prabhupada's books, and the more intimate aspect. Like Krishna's, you know, Vrindavan Leela, for instance, like his Damodar Leela. This is also given, together with the preliminary discussions of, like I said, just, you know, the fact that God exists and that, you know, we are responsible. We if we act improperly, we will be punished and so on. All this is given, and as preliminarily we may not, you know, we are not ready to really fully understand the more higher levels, but it's still given to us, and we accept it, and whatever we can understand, we understand, and we read something, we hear something, we don't understand. It's no harm. We it's still purifying, and just by hearing over and over again, we will come to understand. An example I could give is how this works is that I don't know how it is, if it's done anymore, I guess, in some places in India, that in the Sanskrit, when Sanskrit is taught, it is taught in even from early childhood. The children, they learn Panini Sutras by heart, because the small children, they have this ability to absorb. They can learn, you know, very quickly they can learn and remember verses. So they learn the whole thing, you know, they can recite all the verses just like that. They know them all by heart. They don't know what it means, but they have learned them by heart. They can recite. Even though they have no, it's just for them, it's just some sounds. They don't know what it means. And only gradually it begins to make sense to them as they, you know, grow up and they assimilate the knowledge, the meaning of these sutras. So it's a little bit like that also. We get all the information in the Prabhupada's books, and we read, and some things we understand, other things we don't understand. But if it's committed to memory, then by practice, by applying, by becoming purified, gradually we will begin to understand that which we have heard. It works like that. It's hard to explain, but there's no harm. We simply by hearing, even understanding or not understanding, we will get purified. And gradually, as we make advancement, we will understand more and more. It will come to life for us, all of the knowledge that is given there. So don't worry. If you understand, very good. If you can understand some of Krishna's intimate pastimes, maybe you have some adhikar, some samskar from previous lives that you can relate. But even if not, it's also good. It will also help us. Okay? Anything else? Okay, we stop here then. Hare Krishna.